And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. Well, technically, I am both lying more to you than I usually do and less to you than I usually do here in the introduction of the show. Technically, we are not in New York City right now. Technically, we are in Trenton, New Jersey, which is in no way New York City. Except that it's rad. It's actually might be more rad. I don't even fucking know. Sick punk rock town here in the Jersey of New. But we are actually more underground than usual, at least technically. We are in the basement of the Mill Hill Basement, an incredible venue here in Trenton, New Jersey. A lovely, lovely place with lovely, lovely people. I love playing this place. I played here a few times. It's always a fucking blast. People who are touring, punk rock bands especially, who are touring the East Coast, y'all should hit up Pork Chop Express Booking. They're lovely people. Griffin and Joseph from Pork Chop Express always book rad shows with awesome bands. I've just never had a bad time interacting with these folks. It's such a good time, and they're good people, and they're fucking holding it down. And this is a rad bar. Liz, who's working the bar today, it's always so cool. I hate bars. I'm a sober dude. I hate bars. But this is a fucking cool bar. It's just a fucking positive attitude and always good people. So anyway, my free publicity. I don't get paid to say these things. Pork Chop Express is not paying me. Mill Hill Tavern is not paying me to say these things. I just dig it. So free advertising aside, we are in Trenton, New Jersey. It's the last day of our tour. My band Skullcaster just finished doing a very short tour with our good friends in Escape from the Zoo. Jesse, Veronica, Corey, and Onion from Escape from the Zoo are all sitting very close to me, itching to do this interview. I think actually Corey and Veronica are getting a little sick of waiting, so I think they might actually fucking get up and leave in a second, but whatever. We're going to be doing this interview. It's going to be a good time. We just fucking finished a rad tour here in the Northeast. It was just so much fun. We're going to spend the rest of this episode recapping it, going over the highlights, and just having a good old fucking time. I wish we had more time. I have some stuff I want to talk to Jesse and Onion here about in a minute about this tour. But there's so much more that I would like to go over, and I wish I had more time. We're going to be thrown onto this fucking bar in literally 30 minutes. So we only have 30 minutes to do this show, and I know we're only going to get into the tip of the iceberg here. So we are going to talk about what happened on this tour. We're going to talk about the split that we just put out with Escape from the Zoo. My band Skullcaster and Escape from the Zoo just put out a brand new 7-inch split that you can get on the Dispatch from the Underground website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section there. Go get the split. It's very limited number of records, and it sounds fucking fantastic. You're going to love the fucking songs. And we're going to talk about the record. We're going to, I think, if Jesse and Onion are cool with it, I'm going to play my favorite song from the record, which is their song Crack Pipe. If they're okay with it, I'm going to play that. I think this is probably the first time anyone in mass has heard this song. So I'm excited for you all to hear it. We're going to play some Skullcaster tunes from that record as well. And then hopefully you get a taste for it, and then you want to go and buy the fucking record because it's sick. Again, I am not going to have a chance on this podcast to get into some of the deeper questions I have for Jesse and Onion about, you know, how difficult it is. Onion is from Portland, and the rest of Escape from the Zoo all lives in and around Houston. So I know it's challenging writing. I have so many questions for them about how they deal with that stuff. I have so many questions about how they write these incredible songs and how Jesse, his whole process and method, because Jesse's brain just works so differently than mine, and I'm in such awe of him and his writing, and I just want to crawl inside of his brain and kick things around a little bit to better understand it. Anyway, we're not going to be able to get to all that. We're just going to talk about the stupid, weird shit that happened on tour and for the split. I hope that's cool with y'all. And the next time I'm with Jesse and Onion and Escape from the Zoo, we'll get more into the writing process and we'll get more into kicking things around that beautiful, beautiful brain of Jesse and Onion's to better understand this how this incredible musical intellect works. For now, you're just going to have to worry. You're just going to have to live with a bunch of shit talking. I hope you can live with that, America and world. I hope you can live with the shit talking. That's how you're going to get. Nonetheless, we're going to get neck fucking deep in some shit talking, and I think you're going to dig the hell out of it. This was a fucking weird-ass tour, dude. Like, we had a lot of fun, but we got down and dirty in some nitty-gritty shit, and we're going to pull all of it out and let you see all the dirty nooks and crannies. What's a nick? Nicks and crannies? Whatever, dude. I'll just edit that out later. It's not a problem. We're going to get down and deep into all the nooks and crannies of what fucking went down on this tour. And, yeah, let you peek in. Hopefully you like what you see. But maybe you get grossed out by it. Either way, thank you for tuning in. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to Jesse and Onion and Corey and Veronica for doing this record with me. I love them all as people. I love them as musicians. And I respect them so deeply on both levels. It's very rare that you find incredible musicians who are also good people. And this is a crew of them. The Zoo Crew is just such good people. I have a good time with them. They treat everyone well. It's such a fucking wonderful time. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing this split with us and doing this tour with us. I also want to say thank you to my crew, Skullcaster, especially to Maka. Maka, who is from a band called Clitorium here in New York City. And she's an amazing musician, and she helped us save this tour because our brother Jason, who plays guitar and who's written almost everything in Skullcaster, he got called away for a few days on this tour, and Maka was able to fill in and save us from having to cancel some shows. So thank you very much, Maka. But also thank you to Jason and Callum and Jerry, who put up with my endless bullshit. I am such a fucking piece of shit, and they are such incredibly good people and musicians, and they put up with my shit all the time. And I really appreciate the fact that they're incredible musicians and they put up with my shit. So thank you on both levels. We got a good crew here in Skullcaster and making some good music. Also, there's just like a laundry list of good people who saved us on tour and let us sleep in their fucking houses and eat all their food and dirty up all their shit. Thank you to everybody. You can go to Skullcaster's page on Facebook and read more about all the wonderful people who were involved in this tour, because I made a list of them because I wanted to make sure everybody got their thanks in. I'm not going to go through them now because I'm already talking too long and nobody wants to hear me. You want to hear Jesse and Onion. So we're going to get to them. We're going to listen to some fucking tunes. I hope you all dig all this shit, and I hope you all get something out of it. I know we're going to talk a lot of shit, but I do think that there are some kernels of justice to pick out of our shit talking that we're about to do. I do think there are some kernels of goodness to pick out of it. And I think this is a reflective crew, and hopefully through all the shit talking, you can find those kernels and put them in your mouth and suck on them a little bit and enjoy them. They're worthwhile. All right. Anyway, here is Escape from the Zoo in the basement of the Mill Hill Tavern in Trenton, New Jersey, in the wee hours of the morning. Thank you, Liz, for letting us ruin your night by making you stay way too late while we do this fucking interview. All right, here it is. Jesse and Onion, Escape from the Zoo. Get down. Before we get to the discussion with Escape from the Zoo, I wanted to play a song from a band that both of us love very much. This is a band called Apes of the State. They're from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. April from this band played with us in her other band, one of her other bands, Local News Legend, at the Lancaster show, which she very kindly set up for us. And then she very kindly let us sleep in her home and very kindly made us both dinner and breakfast. She's a wonderful human being. She's doing incredible work, both in her musical life and her non-musical life. She's really an inspiration to all of us, and I just appreciate shining a light on her so much because I think she's such a wonderful person. and I'm happy to do it. And while we didn't get a chance to play with this band in Lancaster, her other band, Local News Legends, were fucking fantastic, and I was blown away by them. And I fucking dug them a ton. They were just so fucking talented. It actually is a little bit embarrassing playing with someone so talented because they're all such amazing musicians. So other than my embarrassment, my own personal humiliation, which is constant, I was very proud to be playing with them. Anyway, this band, Apes of the State, is playing here in New York City October 19th, I believe. For anyone in New York City, make sure you get out to the show. It's going to be an absolutely fabulous time. And Apes of the State is always putting on incredible shows as well as incredible music. So let's get right to it. Here is Apes of the State from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Get down.
The following is a song about being a good talker but a bad listener. So listen up. Excuse my manners, for I suffer from a problem of believing that my thoughts won't go away unless I say them. So it might sound like I'm talking to myself when I'm deep in conversation. It's a problem that I'm working on. I thank you for your patience. But imagine for a second if I could listen to every word that you just said, instead of getting caught up in my head trying to finish all your sentences and occasionally letting the word slip from my lips that I want to say next. But if I wanted to hear what I wanted to hear, I would talk to myself all day instead of you. La 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 la, I can't hear you. La 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 la, I'm not listening. And now I'm hating on myself, but I'm not getting better. So I'm hating on you, so it's not self-centered. Now I'm hating on you, but I'm not feeling better. And I'm hating on myself, and I just need to breathe. God grant me serenity, and I swear that if I make it through this moment, then I will believe. God grant me serenity, and I swear that if I make it through this moment, then I will believe in you. La 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 la, I can't hear you. La 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 la. Times when I'm playing my songs, I wonder if there's anybody listening at all. But I swear to God, I hope I die before I ever get bored of singing to myself.
All right, I am sitting here in the basement of the Mill Hill basement. I mean, it's the basement of the basement. It's like a sub-basement. It's October 14th or something, 2018. And I'm sitting here with Jesse and Jesse. I'm sitting here with Jesse.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Hey!
Hey, I'm out of here.
We're escaped from the zoo. How's it going, guys?
It's going all right. I know that last time we did this, maybe we were like, it was a little rowdy. So hopefully this time we're a little more concise, succinct.
Listen,
cogent.
I will cut this fucking
other
interview.
Other synonyms for that shit. Like, yeah.
I will cut this fucking interview right now if you are any more coherent than you were last time. If you are going to be more coherent, I'm done. This is not going to be, no one's okay. Going to listen.
All right. Well, fuck. I can get real fucking belligerent okay. Real fucking quick.
That's
Joey.
Great. Can we turn it to that, please?
Great. Let's do it. I'll chug this shit.
let me try to get
that. I'm drinking this horrible fucking
Jesse,
beer, by the way.
Let me. Woo. I'm not drinking, so fuck you guys. I'm sitting here.
Bullshit. Joey has a fifth of Jack Daniels.
Right, but it's actually.
In his hand.
You can't see.
Right now, yeah, he's going to lie to you and tell you.
Camel bag in his backpack.
Yeah, camel pack full of whiskey.
What the fuck? That was racist as hell. What the hell are you guys talking about?
It's a camel pack. It's a fucking backpack.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
You're telling you don't fucking run with one of those? I thought you ran.
I ran. I don't run with a backpack on. I'm not a fucking nerd.
Whatever. All right.
Well, this interview's fucking over.
Nerd that doesn't want to stay hydrated, apparently.
No, dude, water's for suckers. I only drink whiskey when I run, obviously.
Ooh, damn. All right.
All right, look, I'm going to cut all this dumb shit out anyway, because we're supposed to be talking about fucking all this other stuff.
Yeah, that was a horrible intro.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, what's up? I'm sitting here with Jesse and Onion from Escape from the Zoo. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm totally sober, and these guys are totally sober, and this is going to be totally clear. All right, listen, I have one question I want to get off from the beginning.
I've never drank a day in my life.
I have one question I want to get off from the beginning. Okay, Jesse from Escape from the Zoo, Days and Days, Chad Hates George, you toured with Leftover Crack, All Torn Up, all these amazing bands. Listen, I know everybody wants to know what's it like touring with Joey Steele. That's what everybody's pretty much wanting to know that.
It's fucking awesome. If you want me to be,
do people ask that too much? Is it too much? Am I asking the same question too often? You get
people
that too
ask
much?
This shit all the fucking time.
Let's just settle
and
this shit.
If you
shit
want
right
me
now.
To be completely brutally honest,
give the truth. The people demand it.
I don't want to say it because it's gonna wreck your fucking your persona. But you're the most fucking. You're the sweetest fucking person I've ever fucking met in my life. And you're so easy to tour with. Thank you. Goddamn. You just like.
Take two.
It's this wonderful. All right, here we go.
Take two. The real
guy. You're talking about Joey Steele? Joey? That fucking All Torn Up band?
Yo.
That motherfucker beats the shit out of everybody that fucking books our goddamn shows. It's fucking terrible. We show up and they're like, hey, all right. Well, y'all did have drink tickets, but guess what? Joey fucking took them all, chugged the bar down, and kicked the shit out of the bartender. So now y'all are fucked. Get the fuck out. Yeah. Move on down.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems handsome, too. I agree.
Oh,
yeah.
He's beautiful. No, he's...
No, I'm just fucking around. Look, this tour has been so much fun. I love touring with you. Onion, this is the first time we've toured together.
Yes, it is.
You should come over here because no one can fucking hear you.
We can hear you, but we want to see you more clearly. It's like a podcast, but it's a podcast of beauty. And this has been a fucking blast, honestly. This has been a fucking wonderful tour. What has been... I know this is complicated.
Why you gotta make things so complicated?
Well, we just put out the split together. And that's like an intimate thing for a band to do with each other. I feel like bands don't do it very often. Putting the split on vinyl is like an intimate act, you know?
I agree. Bands don't usually do it together very often. And I've always enjoyed every time I got to do it with another band.
I agree. Doing it with a band is fantastic. And you come out with a great product, a baby, if you will. And it's a beautiful baby. Like, When you guys recorded the split, what was your thinking in picking those songs? First of all, how the fuck do you say the name of that song, Jesse?
Apologetic Paroxysm, I assume is what you're talking about.
Can you say it super clear for all of the Dispatches listeners who may not be that quick on the take?
Apologetic Paroxysm. So I wrote that when I was like,
Apologetic Paroxysm.
Apologetic Paroxysm.
Paroxysm. Apologetic Paroxysm.
So you know what an apology is, right?
I've heard of one,
obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know if you issue them very often. But,
no. I ain't sorry for shit.
And paroxysm is to, ha, ha, fuck, seize your way into an explanation. But that's the best way I could, that's a horrible way to fucking define that word. But I wrote it because I was being a fucking piece of shit. And my now
believable
wife, who at that when I wrote the song was my fiance, but my now wife was reacting to me how anyone should be because I was mad that, like, I don't know, we didn't have Pop Tarts or some shit because I was being a fucking asshole. Like, I don't know. I go.
What do you do when
fucking,
you get,
like,
mad? I really've never seen.
I write songs, and that's I isolate myself, and I write about it. So I was fucking mad that we didn't have Pop-Tarts. That's not the actual story, but I really like that to be.
I can't remember
the last fucking time I had Pop-Tarts, but I was like, I wrote the song, and I wrote it in like 5 fucking minutes. And it was about how I was being a piece of shit, and she was being a fucking sweetheart trying to accommodate my fucking bipolar disorder. And I knew that I was being a piece of shit, but I could not fucking tame my emotions. And so it's apologetic paroxysm because it was a paroxysm of my apology. So I was screaming, I'm sorry. So it's like, fuck, I'm sorry. Yeah. I love you. And that's all I could, I don't know.
I love that song so much.
I'm glad that you like it.
I love it. I don't like it. I fucking love it.
I appreciate that you love it.
I love it. I also hate it because it is clearly the best song on the album. Like, by far, like, nothing close to it.
Bullshit, but I appreciate it.
Listen, you got to talk about a bunch of stuff, and this is like a back and forth. This is a relationship here.
Okay, here we go.
I'm teaching you.
Symbiosis.
Yeah, now you're married. You're not supposed to be talking that much. Yeah, come on. No, it's so fucking good. It is so fucking good. From the first time you sent it to me, and I'm like, oh my God, we are never going to be able to, this is so fucking good. And the lyrics are great too. I mean, it's just a fucking brilliant song, Jesse. It's very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. It makes me tear up a little bit. I know we the Joey Steele persona or whatever. I'm not fucking crying.
It's not actually enough. I see those tears in your eyes.
It's like welling up in how much I love the song. Okay,
it's just tears kind of start to come out, and then I punch every one of them back in my eyeballs.
Exactly. That's fucking HG exactly bro. How I feel.
That's HG bro coming out my eyes.
Onion, did you feel like Escape from the Zoo has a ton of songs. Did you feel like these were the two songs that should go on the split? Like, what did you think about this? Were you happy with the choices, or did you think that was bullshit?
Well, he wanted to have
Jesse took the fucking mic back from Onion. He's like, fuck this.
Oh, what? Onion, you want to answer this one?
I was just wondering how you thought about it.
Yeah, he asked me what I think of the two songs.
Yeah. Of all the songs that you guys could put on there, did you think these were the ones? Or
definitely.
Because it shamed us, or is there another reason?
No. To be perfectly selfish, because I was the only one. Because they were the first two songs that I had been on.
Oh, that was the first two.
So
you wrote
for
together.
Me, it was a natural, like, you know, yeah, this should be on the split. I'm joined the band a year ago, last October, about the first.
Because it's the only two songs that we had.
That we had done. Really.
Yeah, I'll cut that. Don't worry. Don't even have to admit that yet.
No. It's a fuck. Like, hey, we got shit going on.
Jesse's a machine, and he can crank out a song literally in hours. And I've watched him do it over and over. So yeah, we put it together, and I think we work really well musically. We just click really well off each other's just
show
vibe.
You some. Get it done.
Yeah, like, yeah, we can learn shit. Like, I learned the entire set for tour in 5 days.
That's unbelievable.
That's fucking ridiculous.
And there's literally not a moment on this entire tour where you guys have been, like, out of sync. It's frustrating to hear that you did that so quickly.
He's my anchor on stage, so as long as I can hear him.
And he is mine.
Yeah.
You guys are actually crying. This is a touching moment. It's like sobbing at each other. People don't understand how emotional tour is, because we're all supposed to be like, you know, like jaded punks or whatever the fuck is supposed to be happening. But tour is an emotional.
People really don't get it. It's fucked up. It's
weird.
People fucking come to me like, oh, you must have the fucking, that's the coolest job in the world. Like, you get to travel around with your friends. You get to go see something. Like, you don't. I fucking wake up and feel like shit. I get in a van and I sit in that van with a bunch of other people that feel like shit. And I get to a place where no one gives a shit while I feel like shit. And then we play a fucking show to people who don't give a shit.
Yep.
And the only thing that fucking saves me from that is that 30 minutes where I get to play music with my friends and like kind of forget about the fact that most of the world is shit. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yep.
But
those 30 minutes are pretty precious. For those 30 minutes a day, we do have a good life.
Fucking awesome. Yeah.
We do have a good life.
We live for that fucking 30 minutes.
It's a weird fucking, and it, you know, look, we barely ever see each other. We barely ever get to talk. But I feel like when we tour together, there is this, I know going back to the intimacy thing, it's getting a little bit repetitive and extremely uncomfortable. But
it's not uncomfortable at all. It is incredibly fucking it.
On, yeah, it would be less uncomfortable if Onion were wearing pants. But there is this, like, you know, trenches mentality that I feel like when you've toured with bands for a while and you're in that and you're just like, you're sharing these intimate moments of like rawness and emotion, and like you're pouring all these bands we're in, we pour everything. Fucking thing into that performance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, obviously, those fucking songs are, I mean, they're written about what, they're derived from raw emotion. And even when you listen to them on like a CD, yeah, you get that. But at the show, it's not only derived from the raw emotion that happened when they were being written. It's like that fucking day. It's like all that fucking bullshit that you went through that fucking day. You fucking release that on stage.
Yeah, they're little tiny mini stories.
That's like released because you can't fucking
what happened to us in that moment or to what happened to him and his, you know, interpretation of it.
Yeah.
And then he gets put into music.
You wrote something about something that you're hugely passionate about, and then the day that you drove to go play that to people, you blew a tire, or like you got pulled over by a fucking stupid fucking cop, or like some shit happened like that, and then you get
to drink some fucking booze so bad.
You just have, that's your fucking release, and that's beautiful thing to see, is to see someone just, it's wonderful watching y'all play, because it's, that's, I we were talking about it after y'all play. I was like, you do this thing where you're like holding the mic and you're like, like fucking,
yeah.
you like double elbow backwards. And I was like, holy shit, like that's Joey like double elbowing everything that was wrong that day. I wish that there was video to this podcast because you could see us. It's like dun dun.
Do you know part of the reason I do that, Jesse, is that I'm pushing all the tiny like speck of air in my diaphragm out
just to get that last fucking,
I'm just like,
word
just
out.
Get the last little shit out of there. It's on a very painful moment. So I appreciate that.
Well, it plays very well on stage.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I just think that people don't get it. You know, they think that we're in. There's been some volatile moments on this tour. This has been a short tour, but there's some volatile ones. There's been like a tiny bit spilled over into violence at times. Okay. In Vermont, there are some issues. But, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There, when you're doing this and you're not sleeping and you're fucking not taking care of yourself and you're singing these emotional songs and you're doing it to crowds that maybe or maybe don't care. And, like, you're pouring everything into it, and then something goes maybe not the way you want it to, and you're just like, gah. You know that feel. I don't know what that feeling is called. Like
When you dive, this kind of tour is you're kind of just like.
Frustration.
Or any tour. You're just diving into the most fucking base emotions that any human could possibly have. Because you wrote these songs. Purely at, you know, out of reptile, like lizard brain.
Yeah,
emotions.
Lizard brain shit for sure.
And so
primal instinct and reaction to situations is exactly what it's derived from.
So you do it to make you feel better, and then you want to go perform them to people who have never met you, who have never heard them, and so you're taking the soft, like the in a Twinkie, you know, like the fucking cream filling. You're taking that cream filling and you're just like showing it to people all over the Northeast, where people don't give a fuck about cream filling. and they're just there to judge your cream filling.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying, you know. It's the most terrifying thing to do. So yeah, of course, emotions run high, but it's been fucking, it's been incredible.
It's been a good tour. It's
been
a good tour.
Really receptive.
Yeah,
it wasn't that way.
Incredibly kind.
This has been a good tour. I'm extremely pleased by it. You know, I think we've had a fucking really good time, but also the crowds have been really receptive. People have been really done.
Yes.
I mean, except for in Burlington, Vermont, which.
Joseph Malone.
Might have been.
That was one band who shall rename Mainless.
Exactly. Exactly.
What you talking about?
Yeah, but you know, this has been a fucking incredible tour. There's been a ton of fucking positive response. What's been your favorite place? Like, we've talked about some of the pains that we've gone through and the emotional distress of fucking getting up there every night and fucking ripping the heart out of our chest and putting it in front of people and then putting it back in and fucking killing ourselves in the van for fucking 17 hours. What's been like?
All right, I can say for myself.
Like, if not the favorite show, like a moment where you're just like, oh man, this was a fucking cool little moment, little nugget of moments, or show, whatever.
You make the question so goddamn difficult.
Can you do a recount real quick?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. You mean like with the date?
Let's do a recap.
Okay.
From the beginning to the end.
So we started. All of us got extremely late to a very fucking rad show that we played in. Like near Scranton, it was in upstate Pennsylvania, like in the Poconos. I can't remember the next name. Wilkes-Barre. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong, but I don't give a fuck.
Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre.
I heard Wilkes-Barre. Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah. Honestly,
two different gentlemen that actually started the town, so it's actually Wilkes-Barre.
Well,
according to one of the locals,
that
I don't know.
Person is probably right, but I also fuck them, but. that was a beautiful town. It was a beautiful venue. It was a rad fucking show. It was awesome. And we sadly missed a bunch of it because we were both extremely late because it was the first day of tour. And obviously, our van completely broke down. And we lost our brakes completely on that on the way.
We were just late because we suck.
And the second show was at Lancaster with April from Apes of State.
That was an incredible fucking show.
It was rad.
Apes of State fucking ruled local fucking news
local
legend.
Local news legend, which was the band April played at that night.
It was really fun hanging out at the house afterwards, too.
Oh, we got a little Apes of State there.
They made a bunch of food for us. That was delicious, so fucking rad.
That's another part of tour that people don't know who aren't in bands is like there's such a wonderful community of good people outside of New York City. Because New York City is a terrible place that we don't do these kind of things. But everybody else, everywhere else, is always so kind to musicians. Man.
They had like a whole fuck. They had a smorgasbord.
Yeah,
the community laid out. I think some people don't realize just how tight people like lifers are. Like people that are like in this and do this and put up bands and they've been living it for 10, 15, 20 years or longer. I've been doing it for myself, touring 20 years, and. I'm amazed by the world community of people that are involved in punk rock, and it's not like so cliche as like oh punkers, but it's like yeah, people that care about
people,
this culture, yeah,
people care about people,
this culture, what we do, and they are willing to like look out for that.
And April and Dan from Apes of State are top of the line, and they're fucking incredible, great musicians,
great people.
Then we went to fuck me, you put me on the goddamn spot now.
Right?
I can't. I think
it's
we
just making
Buffalo.
Me feel well, better that your sober mind can't remember Buffalo. Just as well as my fucking drunk mind.
We went to Buffalo. It's hard to remember because we were in Lancaster.
Buffalo's
and it was like
fucking,
a fucking
no,
17
Buffalo's
hour.
Fucking great. That was Mike Defendant.
Yes. Mike helped us put together that show.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Grain of Salt, one of my fucking favorite bands.
Holy
I love that
shit. Grain of Salt.
So
three,
good.
4 shows before.
Then we went to Toronto.
Brooklyn.
With the Filthy Radicals. Then we went to Montreal at Fatal. And it was fucking incredible. Then we went to.
So wait, we can't just skip over that shit. Cause
I'm just like laying down the fucking track here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Because
Toronto,
you guys,
holy fuck.
Yeah.
Toronto was intense as fuck. That was fucking great. And then Montreal, of course, because nowhere parties harder than Montreal.
Montreal's the greatest city
holy
for punk rock
shit.
In the world.
That's
so much fun.
So fucking intense.
I'm going to probably say Montreal for me because it was my first time there, and it was a rare glimpse at very seldom in any city in North America. That's the U.S., Canada. I've only been there Canada recently, but going to Montreal, seeing how those kids danced and did that, that was like, it means everything to them. They live it every fucking day, for real.
Yeah, Montreal's a fucking gem.
To me, Montreal was one of the best shows of my life, too. I mean, Jennifer, who put that show on for us at Babette Productions.
Babette?
Yeah, at Babette Productions. Such a fucking angel. And honestly, seeing her.
Oh, Mimi is fucking awesome, obviously.
Seeing her, like, there's a bunch of skinheads and punks, and she's just like, you know, this woman behind the bar who just fucking commands the motherfucking place. Like, no one's pulling any bullshit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And so I fucking was super impressed by that. I love the bands. It was a fucking great night. Yo, Montreal was sick. And then after Montreal, we went to, where would it go? Everything after Montreal is.
I'm so
murky.
Glad that you have a hard time remembering, too. Because
the smile
I'm,
on Jesse's fucking
yeah,
face.
Yeah, no, I'm just fucking ear to ear. I gotta. It's like, I've been drinking every fucking night, and I'm so convinced that I'm like, oh man, I got a problem. Like, I can't remember anything. But this sober fuck over here is like, where did we go?
I've been really sick on this tour also.
Okay.
Yeah, I had like
too many Halls cough drops.
I had
really,
an extremely high fever this entire tour. After that, we went to Burlington, Vermont, which is why I forgot the show because I'm trying to forget it. And I'm going to skip
Burlington over. Was fucking awesome.
Yeah, for Scott, you.
No bullshit. Y'all killed it. Scott.
Killed
my,
one
my
guy.
Good fucking buddy Scott that puts on fucking Hometown Hoedown. That's about to happen in Houston, Texas, 2 days before Thanksgiving. 1 day after Thanksgiving. Put that shit on. He's the fucking jam. He put that shit on at the Monkey House, right?
Monkey House, yep.
And
look at you.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. See you steal this fucking alcohol trap on this guy. But yeah, no, everyone fucking killed it. This town was fucking great. There was just one band that was kind of being
they were dicks.
A little shitty.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't care. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I don't mind naming names and dropping bombs. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, fuck no.
No, but, this band.
But Joey pulled some cool fucking shit.
I mean, maybe it was some bullshit. Maybe it wasn't.
No, it was not at all. It made the show so much fucking better.
Watching Joey lose control and get perhaps more violent than he really needed to get.
He didn't even get violent.
Yeah, I didn't hit him. It was fucking fine.
No, you didn't touch anybody, but it was
Burlington, Vermont doesn't know how to New York City. That's all I'm saying.
They don't. But that's what made the show.
But
so
Scott
good.
Was rad, and it was super cool that even after I ruined his show, he still put me up at his
you
house.
Didn't ruin the show.
It was a fucking
awesome.
Good ass time. Yeah. After Burlington, Vermont, we went to Boston, and with the fellas from Neighborhood Shit hosted us at a fucking rad ass show in Boston. And it was a fucking great goddamn time. And I saw a friend there I hadn't seen in fucking 10 years who was playing in the band that I didn't even know he was in, Tiger Man Woe. And they were amazing. And Mickey Rickshaw was fucking incredible. The whole show was goddamn awesome.
Fuck yeah.
It was so like, what the fuck? Where did this show come from, dude? That was like out of nowhere. And then after Boston.
Hold up. Where's the, explain the venue. That we played it in.
We played it like a weird like VFW hall sort of thing, but it was run by really rad fucking dudes. Yeah. Awesome. It's called Stadium.
Give me some more context.
There was
paint a picture for me.
It was in Boston, so it was in Cambridge.
Okay, yeah, I get that. Okay, so Cambridge. Check. Yeah. Okay, so you walk, so you go downstairs.
You go down a little stairs.
Yeah, and there's like a little.
You could call it a foyer, but it was really a bar
yeah.
room.
No, yeah. Okay, so there's
you
like
remember
the
bar? Okay, you remember the bar?
Yeah, yeah. Fuck no. That was a fucking an incredible show.
We stayed at Johnny's house afterwards. Remember?
Yeah, fuck yeah. What was the name of that band called?
Tiger Man Woe.
Yeah, Tiger Man Woe. Oh, fuck,
dude.
Tiger Man Woe was the fucking jam, dude. Holy shit!
I've never seen Jesse. I've never seen you dance harder for a band than I did see you, and I saw you dance for that band.
They
you were into
it. They
them.
Were fucking incredible. Yeah. Oh my God. Everyone in that band was just a fucking super. They're fucking killing it.
Unbelievable band. Unfucking believable band.
So fucking
super
good.
Gracious. They let us fucking go to their house and you drank all their fucking rum and whiskey.
I'm so sorry, Tiger Man. Whoa. I apologize. I drank literally, I think, like an entire bottle of rum. I just cleared that shit out.
We never went to sleep. And
we
then,
saw the sunrise.
And then the next day we went to...
That was Brooklyn Bazaar.
Brooklyn Bazaar, which is an amazing show.
Fuck yeah, of course.
With our good friends Perdition and Unwritten. And it was fucking fantastic. Killer fucking lineup. It was a fucking amazing show at Brooklyn Bazaar. Weird as fuck. Because there was like a rave also going on at the same time.
That was so strange.
Yeah.
We walked downstairs and it was like... Fucking, there's like, because when we first walked up, I assumed like, oh, certainly everyone that's out front is here for, you know.
Oh, you thought they were out there for us?
Well, I was like, why else would they be out here? And I was like, that the attire doesn't seem to fit.
Can you describe their attire, please, in your best way that you can do that?
So when Veronica and I first walked up, the first thing that we saw was a lady's naked butt. Covered in glitter.
Fully naked.
And it was cold as shit,
too. It
was
freezing, yep.
And then the next thing I saw was someone dressed like a fox. If maybe a fox fell into a vat of ecstasy.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a nerdy, sexy fox.
It was
weird.
So strange.
And there was like 100 of them. They were like,
yeah,
all
there were
people.
So many fox people.
Yeah.
And I was convinced. I was like, these are the people that come out to these shows.
Yeah, this is Skullcaster's fucking fan base.
Yeah,
like
this is really strange. But okay, whatever. Fuck it. You dress however you want. Dressing like a fox seems fun.
That's
I guess
hilarious.
But no, they were not there for us. They were there for the intense fucking rave party that was happening 30 feet from our show.
Yep.
But it's actually a super fucking good time.
It was weird and fun.
Yeah.
And then today was
I think some people actually like. Trickled in.
No,
from,
people came. Yeah, people came in. They were
from
like fucking
from the rave party to see the show, which was
good. They got some good music that night. Finally, And then lastly, we ended tonight in, with the Mill Hill Tavern in Trenton.
Fuck yeah.
With this, a great show with fucking
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But like, this is the first time I've ever had a good time in New Jersey so far.
Well, that makes sense.
It's been a great fucking night.
Yeah, this is a fucking pit. So we're going to stop for a second. We're going to play a song, and then you're going to finally answer my fucking question you fucking ignored the entire time, which is, of those things, which I had to make a fucking timeline for, what was your favorite? You're going to answer that after we play one song. Okay, get down. Okay, I promised everybody that we would be playing some world premieres of the music that we have on the split. This is Escape from the Zoo's second song on the split, which I actually confuse all the time as the first song on the split, because in my head, it should have been the first song on the split, but Jesse didn't give a fuck and wanted it second. Anyway, he's probably right. He's an incredible musician, and I'm just a fucking moron. So this is the second song on the split. It's called Crack Pipe. I get confused sometimes which song is which. But I fucking love this song so much. Whatever position it is on the record, I just think it's such an incredible song. I honestly think this is like a solid gold tune. I think it's going to go like pop charts number one. I don't know. I really don't even know what that means, actually. I don't even know how that happens. But I think everyone's going to hear this song and just be fucking blown away. This song is on the split called All Cells Are Bogus, ACAB. All Cells Are Bogus. It's a split 7-inch record. This is the second song on the Escape from the Zoo side. It's called Crack Pipe. Here it is. Get down.
The tyro, this pessimism's a disease. When depression and apathy sets in, a complete
Here, all right, so we are now outside of the Mill Hill Tavern on the street in Trenton. Beautiful night. Jesse, I just got finished being belligerent. I'm just Joey Steele style.
The best way to be.
Sorry, Jesse. You're a very tolerant person. Jesse's favorite moment of this Escape from the Zoo Skullcaster tour. The first Escape from the Zoo Skullcaster tour, if I didn't just talk us out of it by fucking being a belligerent piece of shit, as I usually am. So.
No. I think my favorite moment, honestly, was in Quebec. I was above y'all. Of course. There's like that, like...
Oh, there's like on the second level.
Yeah, you walk up the stairs and there's like a little cage and you can look down. And I was trying to take pictures of y'all. And there's one fucking like break y'all do in the song, and it just like hit fucking hard as fuck. Like, you do that thing where you pulled your fucking elbows back real quick, and the rest of the band did it at the same time, and everyone in the crowd did it at the same time, and it was like a fucking earthquake kind of. It was just poof, like, oh my god, it was fucking intense. It was like one of those. You asked for the best moment, not the best night, right?
Yeah. Best moment.
The best one particular fucking moment, like split second. Holy shit, that was intense. I was like above y'all. I was like trying to get pictures and shit. And it was just like I watched an entire room just like crumble all at the same time. And it was fucking cool.
Oh, you're such a good person.
That was a fucking great fucking moment.
You're such a good person. That honestly, I'm not gonna bullshit and be like I'll be humble. That show
was fucking awesome.
So it was just something about that show where everything was just working.
It's because fucking Jin put that shit together so fucking perfectly.
All those people
and everyone,
so good.
Everyone in Montreal fucking parties fucking hard too.
Yep.
And they appreciate
they
when people come
through.
They
pour their fucking
hearts
out.
They actually appreciate music.
They fucking appreciate it so much.
Yeah, people come through fucking all these cities in the States and we're so oversaturated with shows. It's like, on any given night, you can go to like 5 different shows. In Montreal, at least at Le Fatale, they have like, you know, they don't have that shit. You know, when punk bands come from the States, they fucking dig it, dude. Yeah. They're about it. It's fucking cool.
Just there's so many people who pour their hearts out in those places and they're living their honest, like, passionate life without any bullshit, without any fucking, like, preconditions. I just think it's such a fucking special place. I love it. I agree that
oh, it's a gorgeous
set
spot,
was amazing.
Too. Yeah.
There are so many times. Every time you guys played the new song that I still can't try to say,
Apologetic Paroxysm.
Fuck me, man. It is so hard to say.
Sorry. English is a living, breathing language, right? So I reserve the right to make up my own words.
I'm not upset at you for making it. I'm just upset at myself because I can't get it right. Every night you played it, I have videos on my phone for like every single night you play it because I love it so much. But that first night you did it at in Wilkes-Barre was the first time I've ever actually seen you play live. And I've only heard it like 1,000 times, you know, prepping the split, you know?
Right on.
So I actually knew all the words to, well, not all the words, but I knew all the pieces to it. And like, you know, that part where you hit, put Band-Aid on the bullet holes and the bullet wounds. The wounds are holes. Is it wounds? Bullet wounds? Band-Aid on the bullet wounds.
Oh, no, you're talking about a crack pipe.
Oh, crack pipe.
We called it crack pipe because I wanted to, I love Weezer. And I don't know if y'all know this, but it's Days and Days canon that we've played with Weezer twice. We opened for them
what?
2 times. Yeah. We've never actually met them. We've never actually played the same stage or places they have. But we played 2 festivals before they played, so we claim opening for Weezer twice. I fucking love that fucking band. I was like, dude, I want to write a song. It's like that, like, da-na-na-na. They have that, like driving, like, all downstroke kind of sound, you know? So I wrote that song with like hash pipe in mind, but I don't smoke weed.
Think about it, fill in the blanks. Yeah,
but so we called it crack pipe because we thought it was more fitting.
Everyone, when you played that live, I was like, fuck, that's the song, that's the fucking thing. So it just all came together. So I feel like that was like the beginning of tour, and to me that was the best moment. Like, we're starting, here it comes, this is the beginning, hopefully of a lot more. So
fuck yeah. No, it's an absolute pleasure being on the road. You're the easiest band to fucking tour with of all time. We've been on the road with a lot of fucking bands, and y'all are sweethearts.
Well, I feel like it's a fucking, it's just a family, you know. We're just just like a family at this time. All right, Jesse, I fucking appreciate you taking time to do this, bro. I know we got to get on the road.
Right on, yeah. All right. Y'all got to go back home, and we got to go to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Have fun in Pittsburgh, bro. Try to have fun without us, if you can. Try it. Give it a try.
I'll try.
I love you, brother.
I love you so much.
Yeah. We're going to hug, stab each other in the neck. All right, the rest of you all can get down. We played one of the songs from the Escape from the Zoo side of our new record, All Cells Are Bogus. I want to play one of the songs from the side that we did, the Skullcaster side. This is a song called The Abolitionists. And to me, this song is about unity. It's the first word in the song, and it's the whole point of it. This song is about how, you know, the right wing is so unified. They're getting things done at an alarming rate. And I just feel like all too often, us on the left, we're factionalized, we're disagreeing. Sometimes our disagreements have a lot of substance and they're very good points. But they keep us from uniting. And while we could still have disagreements, we should still be together on our large points. Anyone who out there who's an anti-capitalist, anyone out there who hates these cops and can't stand the fact that they brutally oppress black and brown people and imprison people because of poverty, anyone who out there who understands these things and understands that we can get to a better world beyond this capitalism and because of our humanity and the justice that we all want, that's my brother, that's my sister, that's my homie, that's the person I want to be fighting alongside. And I know we have differences, but I think those differences can bring us strength, and they don't have to make us weaker. I think those differences can actually help us work together better, not keep us apart. That's what this song is about. This song is about finding strength in those differences and working together. And of course, there's a healthy dose of cop killing in there as well. I think the people are, you know, keep it light, keep it light, let people enjoy it. So we threw some of that in there too. Anyway, it's called The Abolitionists. This is a song from our Skullcaster side of our split 7-inch that we did with Escape from the Zoo. The album is, the record is called All Cells Are Bogus. You can get it on dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Go to the merch section. Here it is, The Abolitionists by Skullcaster. Get down.
There's no such thing of peace without justice. From this day forward, we will meet violence with violence.
Unity, let's go stand. Today with bodies one for abolition. A common cause of bomb is strong. A principles of consciousness.
Muslims want to donate guns, and Richard has checked into this, and it's illegal for us to ship guns.
Those of you that have guns, please do not send them to us. Go to your local dealer. It is against the law, we have checked into it, for us to receive these types of things. So go to your local gun dealer, turn them in, send us the cash.
Okay, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Veronica and Corey, who decided not to participate in this episode. I think partially because they were bored and no longer wanted to sit here while I was talking incessantly, which makes a lot of sense. And I want to say thank you to Onion and Jesse, who stayed late after our last show and did this interview, despite the fact that I am difficult and pestered them and annoyed them. I really appreciate that they were willing to do this. And just Escape from the Zoo in general, again, for being such good people and doing this tour with us. Hopefully we're going to be doing a lot more touring with them in the very near future. Hopefully on the West Coast next time, or whatever. We could do it over here again. I don't give a fuck. I just want to tour all the time with these guys. It's an endless tour. Everybody who listens and dug what we were talking about, dug this music, you can go on dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There is a merch section on that page, and you can go there and buy our new 7-inch split with Escape from the Zoo and Skullcaster for like $5 plus shipping. It's a very reasonable price. We got some rad t-shirts up there. There's a sick ACAB shirt that has like fucking 400 dead police on it and a fucking some crazy shit on the back. I strongly encourage you to get that shirt. We're almost sold out of that shirt. I don't know if I should do another printing of it, but we're almost sold out of it. Anyway, so go on to our Dispatch with Underground merch section. Buy the split. Send us your money so we can make more music. And we would really appreciate it. Hopefully we can sell the split out right away and make some more music together. Either way, stay down with us. Spread the word. I hope you dug the interview. Hope you all got something out of it more. I hope you were entertained, but I also hope that you saw how reflective we are in this whole process and how much we think about the wonderful people who we spend with and meet on tour and how these like little moments, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to Jesse about, and I'm glad we got to, was how like the smallest moment on tour, you know, you look back at it and it's just it has this impact. And that's us as musicians going around and doing these tours. But I like to think the same is true for people coming to the show, that the things we do have an impact on them. Maybe it's not for their lifetime. Maybe it's just for that week, or maybe it's just for that day. Maybe it's just an uplifting moment, or maybe it's a moment of clarity. But I like to think that we can have an impact on each other. And I like to think that these emotional shows that we do can have an impact. And hopefully they do. And hopefully I'm not being self-deluded or whatever, but I like to at least expose the fact that we are thinking about it and they have an impact on us. And I think that we got to that point in this show at least. So again, thank you Onion, thank you Jesse, thank you everybody in the Skullcaster crew and in the Skeeven Zoo crew. Thank you all out there for listening. Please spread the word. The show is free. It will continue to be free as long as y'all listen. I really appreciate that. Spread the word, though. Let people know about it. Please go on to whatever medium you listen to this show on and leave a review or leave a rating. It does help. I know it seems fucking dumb, but leaving ratings and leaving reviews helps other people see the show. That's the only way that we get to know that other people know that people like this show. So please take like the 2 fucking minutes it takes to go do a review of this and write about Dispatchers from the Underground and that you dig this show and it does help. If you do have money, there is a donate section on our page too. We would appreciate anything you can give to help us keep this show going. We do spend a lot of money just keeping the show up. There's a ton of infrastructure that you wouldn't think that there is, but there is. Website space and network space and server space and fees. It's just an endless stream of money. We're always losing it. If you're in a place to be sharing yours with us, we'd appreciate it. If not, it's all good. It'll be up there for you to listen to as long as you're getting something out of it. So keep digging it. And until then, get down. We were in Cambridge on this tour playing a show that my good friends in Neighborhood Shit, Alex and Terry, set up for us. And we played one of the bands playing the show with this band, Mickey Rickshaw, which I had never heard of before. And Mickey Rickshaw was like 10 folks in this very, very epic sounding sort of like, I don't mean to be offensive with this, but like in the vein of like Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys, a very epic Boston sounding punk band, Mickey Rickshaw. And when they got up on stage, there was like 10 of them. It was very daunting. And I was like, oh man, you know, I'm not going to dig this, you know, this is not my kind of music. So I was like, kind of like turned off by the idea. Fucking like maybe two notes into them making music, they won me over. This band is fucking good. And my douchey, like preconceived notions about what this band was going to be blew up in my face. And I feel like a fucking scumbag forever having let them cross my mind. This band was fucking good. They're called Mickey Rickshaw. They made incredible music. They were incredibly kind people. I was very happy to be playing with them. They also, they let us use their PA in this show. I mean, they're just honestly super kind. But let me tell you a little story about this. So they had a song that they sang, and they said this is a song about the Syrian refugee crisis. And, you know, when a Boston band in the vein of Dropkick Murphys says that, to me, that takes a fucking ton of courage. And I was very impressed that they would write a song about the Syrian refugee crisis, which is exactly how their singer put it when he said it, that that's what the song was about. It takes a lot of courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage to write that song. And I really appreciated it. So after their set, I went up and I said how much I appreciated their music to their singer, a very nice guy. I think his name was Mike. I can't remember exactly. I apologize. And during our set, I dedicated a song to Mickey Rickshaw because I appreciated the fact that I really liked their music and also the fact that they had a song about the Syrian refugee crisis. And so I said that over the mic, and someone in the crowd came up to me after like, yo, dude, you shouldn't have said that about Mickey Rickshaw. You know, those guys are real dudes. Like, you know, you could have started some shit. And I'm like, I wasn't joking. Like, I genuinely fucking appreciate it. I wasn't trying to be some sarcastic punk douchebag. I genuinely appreciate it. I think the homie who came up to me and said that was just like worried that I was like being tongue in cheek or that I was being facetious or like picking on them. But I wasn't, you know. It's just because the music that I make was so different from Mickey Rickshaw. I think that they thought I was being a dick about it, but I wasn't. Because we're so different, I think that he didn't think that I could be genuine about it, and I appreciated that. So I went up and talked to Mickey Rickshaw and just squared it away. But while I was talking to the dudes from Mickey Rickshaw, just to make sure that they didn't think it came across as I was making fun of them, like two or three of dudes in their crew came up to me and they were like, yo, we got beef. And I'm like, hell no, we don't have beef. Like, I really dug your shit. Am I not being clear that I dug it and that was genuinely appreciative of the fact that you guys had a song about Syrian refugee crisis? Those dudes were just ready to knock my fucking dumb punk ass out. And I fucking, honestly, I dug that even more because I thought that fucking stand up shit was fucking super solid. Anyone who's talking shit should be talking it to their face, and they should fucking perhaps get knocked out if they fucking need to be. So anyway, I dug their whole thing. This is Mickey Rickshaw. That's a stupid story about some weird shit that went down. But here's Mickey Rickshaw from, I assume, Boston, but maybe they're from around Boston. Anyway, here it is. Get down.
Can you smell the gasoline? Aleppo City's burning. Nobody's learning from a bloody history. Can you hear the screams of a fleeting generation across a bleeding nation? 200,000 sleep. Hush, little Sarah, don't close your eyes tonight. We've got to cross before the morning light. Border guards may chase us, prisoners they'll make us. The Western world can sleep without a care. It's non-profit warfare. Your mother, she was hurting.
close your eyes tonight. We've got to cross before the morning light. Border guards may chase us, prisoners they'll make us. The Western world can sing without a care. It's non-profit warfare. And as the ocean pulled you farther, I lost you to the water. And as the ocean pulled you farther, I lost you to the water. Can you smell the gasoline? Aleppo City's burning. Nobody's learning from a bloody history. Can you hear the screams of a fleeting generation across a bleeding nation? 200,000 sleep. Little Sarah, don't close your eyes tonight. We've got to cross before the morning light. Border guards may chase us, prisoners they'll make us. The Western world can sleep without a care. It's non-profit warfare.